Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is the Grillion Ideas Radio Show, and I am Grillion Ideas, as the man says. I guess I'm the man with the plan, and welcome back to our show. And this is our first show for 2014, and Happy New Year to everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. And I'm glad that we're back after taking about a two-week holiday, which we needed time off, and getting ready for the big year 2014, moving forward with our new plans for Brilliant Ideas Foodie Network and the 24/7 radio show. And we got a lot of big plans lined up for that in the coming next few months. If you've seen our promos and things on Facebook and on Twitter, we have some big plans coming up with some great hosts are going to be joining us for our new network, the Green Ideas Radio Network. And stay posted, check us out, and we will be bringing this stuff to you every day, 24/7, 7 days a week. You ask for it, you got it. And this morning, you can see we've got a lineup of guests. We're talking about my favorite topic, which is that's funny, a joke. Nutrition, health, and fitness. And we have Dr. Janet Brill joining us. She's a PhD, RD, and LDN, and one of the nation's leading experts in nutrition, health, and fitness. She will be joining us this morning. And then also, I don't know if you folks know, but January the 8th is Elvis Presley's birth year. We have on Jim Anderson. Jim Anderson is a person who he sings Elvis songs. I don't know if you call him an impressionist, but he's well known in the industry, and he's a tribute artist. Jim Anderson will be joining us later this morning with some of his new music. He's come out with a new CD of the younger years of Elvis Presley. So that's our lineup for this morning, and we've got, of course, our one and only Jersey style new food news girl, Laurie, joining us this morning. And good morning, Laurie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Oh, doing okay. I don't know if I can keep my throat starting to itch. I've been having this cold for the last 2 weeks, and
I know
it won't go away after flying back and forth to Texas and California, and I'm hanging in there. But we had a great holiday. And
we really did.
Yeah, I was just telling you before the show starts, no matter how many times I do this show, I get butterflies in my stomach. But then I got thinking about it. Maybe it's not butterflies. Maybe it's the pound cake that I've been eating this morning.
This morning, I think for like weeks. So how many have I made now? Three.
Yeah, I think you had what, three? Has it been 3 pound cakes in 2 weeks?
It's been at least three.
Yeah, guys, this pound cake has got, is it 2 sticks of butter in it?
2 sticks of butter, shortening, sugar, 3 cups.
Well, you take all the calories out when you make it, right?
Oh, yeah.
anyway, we've been like we make a pound cake in a bundt pan, and it lasts 2 days usually.
Like,
I think this
days,
last one lasted
like
2.5 days, but we do have been going through
a
lot of.
Well, because we made it
cake.
Like 10 o'clock at night, so we have a good reason why it lasted 2.5 days.
Oh my God! And like yesterday, you made it into like mini pound cakes, like little design
yes.
pound cakes, and then there was leftover, so then you made like a little short butt cake. But I think we've basically living
like
off
a big
of pound.
Donut.
Yeah, it does, like a giant donut sitting here. Well, not anymore. It looks like a giant half a donut now. But anyway, so everybody out there, we hope you had a nice holiday season. And just so you know, I just was checking this morning that great news, Laurie. Christmas
mm-hmm.
is only 355 days away.
I can't wait. I wish it was every day. It feels like every day with you.
Oh, yeah. Laurie loves Christmas. And as a matter of fact, you would have Christmas every day and decorate
would.
Every day, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I feel bad when people post on Facebook, they get aggravated like in October because they start decorating for Christmas. And I'm like, yay, yay.
Well,
I do it quietly.
The real Christmas is only 355 days away, but you can celebrate it every day. I don't care. Actually, you are like Christmas. You're kind of like Whoville on
Whoville. Take it all in. I'm so happy. As long as you're left, yes.
Yes, and while you're standing around the tree, what's that song they sing? Who was that song they sang?
Wahoo Doris, Wahoo Doris. Welcome, Christmas. I know everybody
okay.
just hung up.
Yeah, stick to your day job. Anyway, we're supposed to have our good friend Aaron calling from the wrestling match in Florida, and Steve would call in just when the show started because he's actually coaching now. I think he's an assistant coach.
That's very nice.
It's every Saturday morning, so they're in the tournament season right now, so he may or may not be calling in. But Laurie, did you want to have anything you wanted to say to anybody? I before you got here, I wished everybody a happy New Year. I figured you want to do the same.
Happy New Year, everyone!
All right,
and it's a beautiful
here.
Day today. My goodness, I'm sure a lot of people had very bad weather. I know New Jersey got hit with some serious storms, and it was pretty nasty.
Yeah, but it's 12.
But it's a pretty day today. Yeah, but it's 12.
It's 12.
It's January, right? It's expected.
Yeah, but so much for my short pants. I'm used to the California. I was just looking at California weather in San Diego, and it's supposed to be 74 today. But,
but you had shorts on the other day. You did have shorts on the other day, and I couldn't believe it. It was like 22, and you walked out with shorts and a hand coat. I'm like, what the heck is that?
Yeah. Shorts and that's probably why I stay sick all the time, now that I think about it.
Yeah, you gotta get better. I gotta get you more tea or something. You can't shake that. That cough is not good.
I thought pound cake would make you feel better. Still, that's not working. So anyway, I guess we should play one of our sponsors' ads and come back here and bring on our first guest. Like I said, our first guest is Dr. Brill, and she'll be joining us as Dr. Janet Brill. She'll be joining us here in just a few minutes. So I'm gonna take a quick break. And then we'll come back here. Everybody hang tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
And like the man says, get yourself a Big Green Egg at biggreenegg.com. You can go in there, click on your zip code, find a dealer near you. And I haven't actually used the Big Green Egg. It's been too cold, excuse me. And, of course, the last time it froze, the top froze on me.
I know.
Yep. So I'm going to get out there and work with my Big Green Egg again. But make sure you check out biggreenegg.com. And you can go find and get yourself one, and you can actually cook smoked turkeys like me and smoked meat like me. And
all the ham.
Nothing like that.
Nothing like
oh
the smoked ham.
Unbelievable.
There's candy
well,
on
hang
top.
On, hang on a second. I'm going to take another break here. I actually got a call coming in. I don't know if it's giving me a weird number. I don't know if it's our sidekick, or of course our guest. I'm hoping it's our guest. But everybody hang tight, and I'm going to take another real quick break. We'll be right back.
Just when you thought radio was safe. A new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.
And like the man says, I mentioned in the early part of the show, you got to check out our new upcoming 24/7, 365 days foodie network coming sometime in early 2014, and we'll give you more details about that as things move along. And I think our first guest is calling in. Laurie, I still have you, right? I'm having a little problem with the phone again.
I'm here.
There. Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, our first guest, like I mentioned earlier, is nutrition, health, and fitness expert, and she's coming on to talk to me and you, Laurie, and everybody out in the listening land about my favorite subject, of course, health and fitness.
Now that's mine. Yours is more about pound cake.
Yeah, there you go. We're just talking about pound cake. Dr. Janet Brill, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard our first part of our show. We're sitting here talking about all the pound cake we've been eating for the last 2.5 weeks, and I'm sure that's not nutritional and healthy. And from a fit for a fitness expert like yourself, you probably were cringing when you hear us talk about it. But maybe you can tell us how we can be healthy and eat pound cake.
Well, just take solace in knowing you're not alone, because the whole world is now ready to lose weight and get back on track, which is fine. You know, the point is we're all human. We enjoy eating good, tasty food. We enjoy celebrating the holidays. But I think the point is that we can do that, but as long as we just get back on the horse and really pay attention to day in and day out, choosing healthier foods and getting those sneakers on and exercising every day, then, you know, that's fine. You can eat your pound cake and lose weight too.
Well, that's what everybody does. It's, you know, January 1st, New Year's resolution, and I'm sure you've seen it just like I have. The gym fill up. You have everybody going to the gym and working out. By January the 15th or 20th, you start seeing people not show up, and probably by March, the gymnasiums are not quite as full anymore, but that's the toughest part, I guess, of getting out there and doing it. So as an expert, what do you suggest to people the first thing they should do if they want to get into an exercise program, nutritional program?
Well, I think that a lot of people, they set themselves up for failure because they set goals that are unattainable. So so right off the bat, instead of saying, I want to lose 20 pounds, perhaps say, I want to lose 1 pound, and then set short-term strategies for achieving that goal, and then having success and losing that pound is good, and then, you know, that continue every week. You have to set small goals. You can have a larger goal down the road, and I think also it's very helpful for a lot of people to share their goals and to become accountable to someone else. So whether that means a personal trainer or joining a Weight Watchers with support, it's I think not enough. It's extremely difficult to lose weight, to change, to eat healthier, to get, you know, your exercise in every day. But with the support of others, people are successful. So I think keep that in mind as well.
Well, it's funny because I guess it was about almost 3 years ago, I was pushing the scales over 290, and I knew it was time for me to get more healthy, because when I would bend over to tie my shoes, I would get out of breath, and I just decided I'm not going to try to just like, yeah, I had those bad diets where you have the Atkins diet and all those other things, and you do lose weight, and what you tend to do is end up getting it all, it all comes back and then some. So I've actually, what I've, it took me 3 years, but I lost about 40 pounds, and it was basically about a pound a month to get there. But, you know, it wasn't one of those type things, and it had to do with eating right and not, you know, not eating Lay's potatoes just late at night and a whole gallon of ice cream. And so it can work, and Laurie can attest it. Laurie, do I look better than I did back then?
Unbelievable.
So you made some simple changes. You just what did you do that enabled you to lose? By the way, the best way to lose weight, the best kind of weight to lose is slow and steady. So because you want to lose body fat, you know, these fad diets where you lose 15 pounds in a week are actually backfire. Because you're losing, you're using a lot of water weight, you're losing some muscle mass, which is, you know, your muscle is your best friend when it comes to your metabolism and being able to eat more. So you don't want to lose that. So what did you do that enabled you to lose slowly?
It's kind of funny because you said it, you know, slow and low, and actually that's how I did it. I mean, being in barbecue, and I like to do barbecue and grilling, and, you know, the best way to barbecue is making it slow and low on low heat. I found that when I started grilling meats, because all the fat and stuff drip off into the grill, I think that had something to do with it. Now, of course, I was eating more veggies, not eating a lot of potatoes, staying away from all the starches and all the junk food. But I think that actually grilling food had something to do with it, too, because, you know, you throw it in a frying pan or throw it in your oven, all it's doing is sitting around and it's floating in the fat. And I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but it seemed to work for me.
Yeah, well, I'm loving hearing this because it's one simple change that you made that had an incredible result. And grilling is fabulous. It's a super healthy way to cook because the fat drips off, so you're going to eat less fat and thereby eat less calories. And so you're going to, you know, it's really the calorie math here. And so I think that that's fabulous. And of course, you want to cut back on the junk food and eat more fruits and vegetables. I mean, it's not glamorous, it's not exciting advice, but it's back to basics, and that's how you lose weight and keep it off.
Some of the best things that we made on the grill, you would take like little baby sweet peppers and put them on like a shish kebab stick and grill those. And even, you know, you do potatoes and other things too, but squash and all that kind of stuff. And
mushrooms.
Grilling it, to me,
vegetables on the grill, nothing better.
Exactly. So that's how I did it. And a lot of people, you know, you can't go for the 15 to 20 pounds right away. It's just not going to happen. So I agree with you. Slow and slow and take your time and set realistic goals. So I have to ask a couple questions. Well, first of all, let me mention your website. If people want to find out more about you, they can find out at www.drjanet.com. Can you tell me, okay, you're a PhD, but what RD and LDN, what is that?
I'm a registered dietitian and a nutritionist. I'm licensed to practice what I do. So that's what that stands for.
And you've been doing this for how long?
Oh, forever. For, you know, over 20 years.
Wow. And I know you're pretty much, you're known as the expert, and I know you're on some TV shows and some, and have you written a few books too, I believe?
Yes, I've written actually 3, and hopefully we'll be starting my 4th. I'm waiting to hear from my publisher. So, yes, I'm. That's what I do. Spend a lot of my time doing. I write books, and I also do my blog, and I do consulting for corporations.
So, what are the books? What are the name of the books you've published so far?
My first was Cholesterol Down: 10 Simple Steps to Lower Your Cholesterol in 4 Weeks Without Prescription Drugs. My second one was Prevent a Second Heart Attack: 8 Foods, 8 Weeks to Reverse Heart Disease. My third one, which came out just last year in 2013, is called Blood Pressure Down: The 10-Step Plan to Lower Your Blood Pressure in 4 Weeks Without Prescription Drugs.
Now, let's go back to the
All of my books are about helping yourself to prevent heart disease and cardiovascular disease, which is hands down the number one killer of American men and women, and how it's a preventable disease. So let me repeat that. It's no one has to die of heart disease. It's preventable with lifestyle, largely 90-some percent. So all of my books are about the lifestyle, what it takes, the food and the exercise plans to rein in your risk factors and to prevent heart disease.
I always talk about those eight foods. You said you have eight foods that can reverse the problem with heart disease?
Yes. I wrote this second book, Prevent a Second Heart Attack, because my husband actually had a heart attack.
Oh,
and
really?
So I wrote it for him. Yeah, I wrote it for him. And he's alive and well, thank God. And I wrote the book because I was disturbed to find at the time that the it was very confusing out there for people that have a diagnosed heart disease, which is quite a few of us. And the only books that were available out there were very, very Spartan kinds of vegan diets that I think were wonderful if you could follow them. But the seems to me, my patients at least, that people were just not able to follow it. That type of eating plan. And so I did research, because I'm a researcher, and I found that actually the Mediterranean diet was the gold standard for reversing, for what's called secondary prevention of coronary artery disease. So it's the Mediterranean diet that's the best diet, and I wanted to get that principle out there, because the Mediterranean diet is such a phenomenal way of eating, and you can really enjoy beautiful, delicious foods and enjoy the good life as well. And so heart disease doesn't have to be a sentence, you know, a prison sentence. So I wrote this book, and it's all about the Mediterranean diet.
Now, the Mediterranean diet uses a lot of olive oil, right?
Yes, it uses a lot of olive oil, which is completely opposite of what these books that are out there now as well, preventing heart disease reversal, recommend. They do not allow olive oil. They do not allow nuts. They do not allow just beautiful, healthy, tasty kinds of foods. So I wanted to write about olive oil and the virtues of, you know, the Mediterranean diet, which uses these healthy fats in lieu of the bad fats, and which actually prevent and reverse heart disease. And the food tastes amazing.
Yeah, I am a big user of olive oil, and most of the cooking we've talked about before, like if I'm going to make veggies or stuff and use olive oil instead of other oils. And Laurie can tell you, her dad lived to be, what, 89, Laurie? And he was a big olive
yep,
oil.
Yep, just shy of 89. He's Lebanese, and he grew up with a Mediterranean diet. We all do.
Fabulous.
Yep, with a lot of olive oil and garlic and the hummus and the yogurts and, yep.
Yep, well, that's what I wrote about. And just make sure that that you're using the extra virgin olive
mm-hmm.
oil, because that's the one that's the least processed, and it contains that those golden words, extra virgin, mean that it actually still contains all of the antioxidants and the good types of ingredients that have been shown to be so soothing for the arteries.
Now, you said you're in the process, you're waiting to talk to your publisher about a fourth book. What's that going to be about? Do you know?
That's going to be about diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and blood sugar. Yeah, it's an epidemic in our country. So, and I think that there's a lot of confusion about the disease and the lifestyle, the best lifestyle to live to both treat and prevent it. So that's going to be my next book.
Cool. Now I'm gonna put you on the spot for a second. I'm bringing on my sidekick. He's calling in from another location today, and I'm gonna hang on 1 second. Let's get him on here.
Okay.
Hey, Aaron, are you there?
Yo.
Yo. I don't know if you can hear us, but we're talking about diet and exercise and health and fitness with Dr. Janet Brill, and I was going
to
ask her a question since you're kind of the expert about paleo diet. I was going to ask her what she thought of the paleo diet.
Yeah, I've been listening to all this Mediterranean stuff, and it's really close to eating and living paleo. I mean, it's very similar because it is all about the good fats and the nuts and the meats and all of the things that are really good for you. It's totally opposite from what traditional FDA-approved dieting is, but it seems to work better. I'm telling you, eating paleo or even Mediterranean lowers blood sugar, regulates blood sugar, regulates energy, reverses heart disease. She is so spot on, it's not even funny.
Yeah, he's had some great success eating the paleo diet. And yours is kind of a modified paleo diet, but he had high blood sugar. How much weight you lost so far, Aaron?
I lost 39 pounds and got a blood sugar regulated to about 105.
Wow. So I was going to ask the doctor what your feeling was about the paleo. Obviously, we've got someone it's working for, and not all diets work for everybody, but what's your feeling of the paleo diet?
I kind of have a love-hate relationship with this diet. I think that there's wonderful aspects. I mean, anytime you're going to cut out the junk food and the processed foods and you're going to teach people to eat whole food, natural foods, that's fabulous. On the other hand, the actual paleo diet is a little bit, it's too low in the carbs, in my opinion. It cuts out, I believe, whole grains and and that's not okay in my book because whole grains are the staff of life and honestly can be included and should be included for in a heart healthy diet. So that's what I don't like about paleo. But again, any diet that helps people because everyone's an individual and you know a lot of people wouldn't be able to follow the Mediterranean. So if it works for you, that's wonderful.
And I think you've modified it some too, haven't you, Aaron, where you're actually eating some grain with your, you're not strictly all 100 paleo?
No, I'm literally, I say about 85% paleo. So there are something, I still treat myself. When I treat myself, it's usually with something that's a whole grain, you know, those kind of things. But for the most part, it's pretty strict. But there are some modifications that I've made. The only reason that I've made modifications is there's so many other things that are available. Than used to be available. There are so many other options that are still somewhat healthy, even though it's not necessarily paleo. So I just try to keep myself limited to the whole grains, whole wheat, and not having anything white, starchy, any of that crazy stuff. So it gives us the opportunity to modify a little bit and tweak it for what we're doing.
Well, the blood sugar thing, Dr. Brill, you were talking about, and that's what your next book's going to be about, diabetes and that type of thing. That's the key thing, too, on what you're eating, what your glucose levels and things such as that. Is there any suggestions for people that are maybe listening to have that kind of issue, what some of the things they might do, what you're going to be talking about in your book?
Well, I'm going to I haven't done all the research yet, but I can tell you right off the bat that it's going to be about type 2 diabetes, which very correlates with overweight and obesity. So, of course, I'm going to talk about losing weight because you lose weight, your blood sugar is going to come down. So, I mean, it's a simple fact. So I'll talk about that. And then, of course, there's better foods to eat for lowering blood sugar. And so I'll get into that. Some foods right off the top of my head, probably beans, anything with that high fiber content that's going to regulate the absorption of blood sugar from the intestine is going to be beneficial for people with type 2 diabetes.
All right, and I have to ask you a crazy question because we have an ongoing joke here on the show about beets and arugula. Are both beets and arugula good for you?
Doctor, please don't answer that question. Please don't say that beets and arugula are good. Please,
beets,
I can't handle it.
Beets are and arugula are God's gift to humankind.
Yay!
Yay!
They are spectacular.
Everybody hates me. Everybody in the world hates me. This has got to be, it can't just be me.
And especially
them.
The red beets. And the beet greens, it just doesn't get better than that. I mean, perfect foods. Arugula, you don't want to get cancer, eat arugula every day.
There you go. See, you heard it. You heard it here. See, Aaron, you have got to get on the bandwagon with the rest of us with those beets and arugula.
I'm going to die early. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Well, Dr. Brill, we appreciate you joining us this morning. And everyone who wants to find out more, like I said before, you can go to drjanet.com. And we've got a link here on the web page with the show that you can just click and go to her page. And thank you for joining with us this morning and talking about all the healthy things and what we should and shouldn't do. And you're always welcome to come back on our show.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure, and Happy New Year.
All right, Happy New Year to you. Everybody, check out her website and also check out her books and the upcoming new book. Check that out. And we're going to take a quick break. And, Aaron, before we go, are you leaving? Are you staying? Or what are you going to do with us?
I have to bail out for a few minutes, but I'm going to call back if that's cool.
All right, you go do some wrestling, and I'm going to play a Jim Anderson song since he's coming on next. This is one of his old songs that we had before, Jim Anderson and his rendition of Elvis Presley's song Memories. We'll be right back.
This song is called Memories by Elvis Presley. Whew, where's that?
Coming out with a new album about the early years of Elvis Presley, and looking through my notes here, I'm making sure he is coming on at the next hour. Yes, he is, and playing some of the new music from his new album, and I've got some of the older songs here too that he's been on our show. I guess this will be the third time he'll be joining us, and so we've got a whole bunch of catalog songs by Jim Anderson and Elvis Presley songs. So everybody hang tight, and Jim will be joining us here in just a few minutes. And Laurie, I'm trying to get these buttons to work here. Are you still there with me?
I'm here.
Okay. Good old Blog Talk Radio. Having some problems here. While we're waiting for Jim, did you have any food news you might have ready? You want to talk about a short story till he comes on board?
Sure. Let me see if this is... I always say short story, and it's like, I'm going to catch me off guard here. Okay, yeah, it's kind of short. I have a good one. Okay, did you hear this one? Food marketing will be ugly in 2014. Have you heard that?
It will be ugly, you said?
Yes.
No, I didn't hear that.
And they say, beauty is so boring, or so declares the advertising firm JWT. Its 2014 trends reports and that they predict this year will be the one to be proudly imperfect, and it's including the world of food. The rugged handmade look is already spreading from imperfectly shaped artisan pieces at Domino's to the uneven carving board cuts of Oscar Mayer turkey, and eggs that aren't shaped like discs in McDonald's Egg White Delight McMuffin.
Oh, you know what? I've been sitting here with, ever since you said marketing was going to be ugly, I thought maybe they were going to have, like, ugly models doing food commercials and stuff, because I was getting ready to sign up. I was thought, oh, okay, there's a job for me. But you're talking about ugly food.
Well, at least you didn't tell me I need to sign up. Then I really wasn't.
No, I'm not. Hey, I may look dumb, but I'm not stupid.
No, it's about, I guess, this is the look they're kind of going for. What they're saying is it's sort of like nothing, you know, they want like that all natural. It says imperfection and even outright ugliness, the quirky, the messy, and the flawed are taking on a new appeal in a world that's become neatly polished. It's a symptom of a newfound appreciation for individuality and authenticity. You know, this is just, I don't know, I was pretty surprised at this, but...
You know, do people really sit around and think about this stuff?
Well, listen, for 2 years, this one company, JWT, yes, they said it was a process that took the company 2 years to develop. The so-called imperfection of the product is as deliberate as it is false. Packaging actual leftover meat or any product with more serious flaws, for that matter, likely wouldn't be as appetizing to consumers, but that's what they're trying to go for. Yep.
I just, okay. These theories crack me. I mean, I know someone's paying millions of dollars to do these studies.
They are. Yep. They said this year we'll see more food that looks imperfect. Do consumers now truly value flavor over appearance?
Come to our house and see my barbecue grill. That's a lot of that.
Well, people don't understand. They see the black in the photo and they think it's burnt, but they don't understand. It's just, it's so caramelized and it tastes like candy, like when your hands and stuff. It's not that look. Yeah. Well, what that's what I'm saying. Consumers now truly value the flavor over the appearance. Most tasty food doesn't always look the best. Or is this just a trend towards artisanal, craft, and small batch everything? Is this a return to the simple life? If we are buying rough-hewn furniture and limited edition beer, why would we expect anything less from our food?
Well, yeah, everybody, like you said, people make fun of my cooking. They say my grilled smoked turkeys look like armadillos. So
that's what Brian always says.
I'm just a trendsetter, I guess.
You are.
I guess.
I don't know how many people smoke their ham on a grill.
Yeah, well, not a whole lot of people do the grilled ham like I do. But you're right. It looks like a big, giant black football. But when you cut inside of it, it's all nice and juicy and tasty and tastes smoky. And anyway, we have our second guest coming on. Are you done with your ugly
food
stories?
I have two more little lines, but that's okay.
No, read them, because I won't hear the end of it if you finish your story.
Okay, I'll do it real quick. It says almost 6 in 10 people surveyed by JWT say they like the goods that are a little flawed or imperfect, and they notice the word little. So, and 7 in 10 find beauty in flaws. And the survey never asks how flawed they're willing to go. It says, considering that life is already rife with imperfection, JWT predicts that for 2014, this is their prediction, Chinese wines, cocktails on tap, edible packaging, fast food tofu, homemade baby food delivery, flavored ice cubes, and savory yogurt. This, I am willing to forego perfection in all, he says, JWT.
Are we done now?
Here you go. I'm done now.
Okay.
You hate that last part. You just can't wait to get me finished with that part.
No, I just want to make sure you get it all in and make sure you
got
it all covered.
This
Speaking about getting it all in, let's get our next guest in. I'm going to play one of his new songs. And everyone, if you've listened to our show before, you've heard Jim Anderson. He's been on our show a couple of times. And like I said in the intro this morning, Elvis Presley, his birthday, I believe, is January the 8th. And Jim is a great tribute artist for Elvis Presley. And here's one of his new songs that he's got on his new CD called Are You Lonesome Tonight? We all know the songs. We're going to play that, and then we'll bring Jim Anderson on and talk about what he's up to and about the new CD and see what's going on in his world. So everyone, hang tight. We'll be right back with Jim Anderson.
bright sunny when I kissed you and called you. Hear the chairs in your parlor seem empty in bed. Hear you games at your doorstep and pictures today. Here's your heart filled with pain. Shall I come back home? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome too? I wonder if you're lonesome tonight. You know, someone said that the world's a stage and each must play a part. If fate had me playing in love with you as my sweetheart, Act One was where we met. I loved you at first glance. You read your lines so cleverly and you never missed a cue. Then came Act Two, honey. You seemed to change. You acted strange. But why? Why, I'll never know. Honey, you lied when you said you loved me. But I have no cause to doubt you. But I'd rather go on and hear your lies than to go on living without you. Now the stage is bare, and I'm standing there with emptiness all around. And if you will come back to me, well, I can bring the curtains down. Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
And that was Jim Anderson and the Rebels, and if everything's working here on Blog Talk Radio, we should have Jim Anderson on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Jim.
Morning. How you doing, sir?
Doing great. Say hello to Laurie.
Hello, Laurie. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Jim. Thanks.
Welcome back to the show, Jim. We appreciate you coming back on. It's like I think it's like an annual tradition for us, isn't it?
Well, I hope so. I hope we just keep on going and going there and have a lot more fun.
Well, welcome back, and I know it's always a great time to have you on because this is the month of Elvis Presley's birthday, and plus you guys have just introduced a new CD, and you're coming out with that, plus you got a big concert this evening, so we wanted to have you on to come on and tell people what Jim Anderson and the Rebels have been up to.
Well, we had a pretty successful year last year. You know, we ended up going doing a lot of concerts through Oregon and Washington and Idaho and Nevada and California, and we you know, it swore up and down we were going to have the CD done for last year, but it just didn't. We just couldn't get back to the studio or anything. So we're doing a lot of concerts, and then we finally just said, you know. We've got to do something, and so we decided to go ahead and put together a live album from a bunch of the different shows that we did this last year, and took it to the studio and had it mixed and mastered, and so it'll be it hit the website today. It'll be at the show, and then it'll, you know, slowly regulate itself to different, you know, online music sources and stuff, and so it's good. It's been a fun year.
Is the name of the CD is called? Is it called Unfinished Business?
Well, we were going to title it that. We decided to hold off on that title until our next album. We're actually getting into the studio this summer, for sure. We've already got that.
Oh, okay.
Set,
and that's what it'll be called then when it's out of the studio.
This one was Jim Anderson and the Rebels live in concert, 2014. And then this next one that we do in the studio will have mostly originals on it, which is a really, it's the best way to describe it is a kind of a early rockabilly, boogie-woogie, blues, you know, style of music. So
cool.
But it's going to be good. And we'll also redo some Elvis music on there, too.
Oh, really cool. So tonight you've got a concert, and where is the concert going to be held?
It's at the Firehouse Arts Theater in Pleasanton, California. They actually have done that. This will be the third year in a row, and now it's getting fortunate to us, and we're blessed that's the demand. So now we'll be doing a show tonight, and we'll do a show tomorrow also because it's selling out pretty quick. So we're lucky and very blessed. So.
Well, I'm going to play another one of the songs from the live CD, and everybody knows the song Teddy Bear. And Laurie, you know, I know you always say I'm like a big cuddly teddy bear, but you know the
I like it.
You know the song, so we're going to play that next, and we'll come back and chat. And while we're listening to the song, Jim, I heard rumors about you in Vegas, and I don't know if it's true or not, but when we come back, we can talk about that. So everybody hang tight. This is Jim Anderson and the Rebels, and, of course, the famous song Teddy Bear. We'll be right back.
I don't wanna be a tiger, a tiger late to run. I don't wanna be a lion, lions ain't at hand. But let me know, there's a lonely bee. Oh, teddy bear, put a chain around my neck, leave me baby red. Oh, let it be.
Recording at, Jim, for this CD?
Well, we did it's from a bunch of different shows. We did I believe about 40 different concerts last year, and so we had set it up to where we could start recording the shows on all the individual tracks and then, you know, bring it back and kind of just put it in the archives and hang on to it until we see what we want to do with it. And we decided, you know, that would be a fun thing to go through and pick some music from all the different shows, because what you're hearing is all live in concert.
Okay.
So we just picked them from, I mean, we've been up in Washington, some of it's from Nevada, some of it's from Northern California, Mid-California, we were up on the radio up in Idaho. It's no telling where it came from, but it's from different shows all over the place.
Now, I heard a rumor, I said before we went to the song, about you in Vegas. Is it true? Are you working some kind of deal in Vegas?
No, I like to get down. I always try to That's a tough one to answer because, you know, you want to make sure that you, you know, I do want to work. I do want
to
work.
Didn't need to put you on the spot, but I heard a rumor.
No, it's good. It's good. We're looking to get down there. We're not sure when it's going to happen. We are. We've had a call from the Atlantis Casino in Reno, Calusa Casino, some different casinos and stuff, and then we'd like to get down to and do a huge free concert down on Fremont Street down there, down in the Old Town District. And then I just sent some information to Pechanga Casino, which I think is down by you folks.
Yeah,
right?
Pechanga was actually in Temecula.
Right. So I'd like to get down there so I can yank you over and have you have a good old time.
But you don't know I moved to the East Coast, did you?
No, you did not.
Yes, I did. I'm
actually. Yeah. Where are you at
I'm
now?
Actually in cold Maryland, where it was 12 degrees this morning. Yeah, I left California, and now I'm in Maryland. But now you got to figure out how to get over here to Baltimore or Washington or Ocean City so we can see you.
So here's another thing. A gentleman who's a big production company up in Canada wanted us to tour for 6 months, a show every other night, and start across southern Canada, and then work all the way from one border to the other, and then work our way back in all the northern states. So I might hit you anyways.
Well, you never know. And if
you're
going to Pechanga, you have to let me know. And I may have to make a trip back to San Diego just to warm my bones because it's freaking cold here on the East Coast.
Yeah, you got some meat hamburgers out there that are made of popsicle now?
Yeah.
some burger sickles? That weather's slamming that East Coast.
Yeah, it's been a little chilly, but I tell you, it hasn't been that bad. I'm an East Coast boy anyway, so I'm kind of used to it. And my California bones for 13 years got warmed up, but we're getting used to the cold weather again. So anyway, I also wanted to mention, I think this is right, you've got a new website that you just started. It's called JimAndersonAndTheRebels.com. Is that right?
Yes, sir. What I did is I took Jim Anderson Music and umbrella Jim Anderson the Rebels as part of that, so that eventually we'd have the recording studio fall into part of the music, and then the distribution and stuff, and then the band would also fall under a piece of that. So yeah, it's www.JimAndersonAndTheRebels.com, and they can go on there and they'll tell, you know, just like any other musician's website, tells you where they're playing, what they've been doing, and all the tweets, and you can buy the album or posters and individual songs, just that, you know, but it's turned out, we just finished it, and it turned out pretty well, so we launched it, and yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've actually got a link here on our radio show here that people, all have to do is just click and go to the link, and it'll take you right to Jim's new website. I'm going to play another one of your songs, which is an old classic, Love Me, and this is part of the new CD, and then we'll come back and
chat
in a few minutes. If this is your favorite song, this is a good song. And we'll be right back here with Jim Anderson. And everybody hang tight. Don't go anywhere. We're going to play Love Me. Be right back. Jim Anderson and the Rebels from their new album that you can pick up at the new website, jimandersonandtherebels.com. And we have Jim Anderson joining us this, I guess it's this morning over there in the California area, this morning joining us on the show. And Jim, it's great. It's great stuff. Now, when you say early Elvis, about when were these songs that you have on the album, what years were these songs made by Elvis?
Well, the majority of the music that we sang is between, say, like 1954 and 1964. He did a lot. He continued doing his music. There are a couple of songs that, you know, just powerful ballads, like old Frank Sinatra's My Way. You know, Elvis sang that in 70. He sang that in 70. So we introduced that into the show. And there's such a vast amount of music that Elvis sang. But we try to... And again, our show is it's a bit different. I don't dress up in, you know, the black wig and the jumpsuit and based on sideburns and stuff, which I've seen some of the gentlemen who do that, and they are absolutely phenomenal. I was the pageantry, they sing, entertain. Our show is more of a kind of a tribute to his music of that period, you know. I mean, I'm blonde hair and blue eyed, and I don't dye my hair or nothing for the shows. I get up, and if I'm singing country or gospel or blues or Elvis, you know, and some of the songs that we do aren't Elvis songs that we've incorporated that sound like, because they this same style of music, so we do it anyways. And so, but it really is a tribute to his music from, you know, like 1954 to 1964.
So tonight, when you have your tribute concert, you usually sell out. Have you sold out on the concert yet?
I haven't even checked. I think it's pretty darn close. They booked it over 2 days now. So, but I think they always update me. But you know, I told them, I said, don't update me. I'm gonna be on Brilliant Ideas, so don't bother me.
Yeah, hold all my calls. I'm gonna be on Brilliant Ideas Radio. Yeah, right.
Hey, you gotta post more stuff on my Facebook so that everybody can get attached to your show.
We'll definitely do that. You know, I always like to ask people, I don't like, some people like to use my page like a billboard. You know, I'll get posts on there. If you know, somebody's like selling Viagra or whatever else they want to sell, they try to do it on my billboard on my Facebook page. So
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. You didn't want me to post that on there?
Yeah, no more Viagra ads, Jim. But no, yeah, thank you. We'll put some more information on, and we'll also post the show that you're on here today and the replay, and people who are listening can always hear the replay of the show. And
you're a good cat, so you can go anytime. You can come put anything you want on there. You're fine.
All right, I appreciate it. I'm going to play one of your old songs that you had before when we had you on the show as I Let You Go here. And do you have a favorite
You said that last one was one of your favorite. You have another one of your favorite Elvis songs you want me to play? Since I've got a whole library here from you.
You got that old, about the first time recorded, you got Falling in Love with You?
Yep, I do. That's one of my favorite, too. I'll play that as we let you go here. And good luck tonight with the concert. Keep us posted with your concert schedule. And if you end up in Pechanga, let me know. And if you do that whole cross-country Canada thing and then hit over here to the East Coast, let me know. We'd definitely like to check out your concert.
Perfect. And I really appreciate it. And like I say, you're a great guy, and I hope you do the best of success this year in 2014.
Well, thank you very much. You too. Happy New Year.
All right. Take care, young lady.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
This song is called Falling in Love with You by Elvis Presley.
He's just a genuine, great person, great entertainer. Just, I don't know,
so
he always
talented.
Makes me feel good. I know.
Yep.
Great, great, great singer. And if you get a chance to see him in concert, if you're in the area, it's on his website tonight. It sounds like he's sold out, but just a super nice guy. I appreciate all the kind words he said about me, but he is truly just a genuine, nice person.
Yep.
So, it's your time again, Laurie. You got any food news? We're about 20 minutes to go, and hope you got a lot
do
of
I
news.
Do I have to wait for 20 minutes?
you know that you'll talk for like 3 minutes, and then I'll jabber about something for five, and then you'll
of
talk three,
you
and then you won't be able to finish the article because I'll be interrupting you numerous times.
And you'll be
picking
on me, and you'll be cutting me off, and you'll be rushing me in.
By the way, I like.
I like you like that song, that last song. That was the one I was going to pick, and he picked the same one I picked, was going to pick. Falling in love. But we're not going to make people out there in Radio Land puke. But anyway, let's go to your poop.
Okay, here we go. I wonder if Aaron's going to call in again.
Who knows with Aaron? He's right now probably laying on a mat somewhere telling some kid to, like, choke the opponent or something. So who knows? He's
break
doing that
ribs.
Eventually. Yeah, break somebody's ribs.
Okay, here we go. This is kind of an interesting article. It says, Food Culture Year in Review, 2013 was the year of disruption. It's that time of year when the Hartman Group takes stock of what we've learned in day-to-day interactions with consumers, and this year they say was a doozy.
So
here's
tell
the
me
list.
See, I'm going to interrupt you already. So last year was the year of disruption, and this year is the year of us. Okay, got you. Go ahead.
Okay. The Hartman Group, I guess they do this every year to do these trends and stuff. And they say, here's the list of the 7 trends that disrupted food culture in 2013. Okay, snacks. And it's funny because I totally agree with this. And since you've been with me, I'm sure you'll admit it. It says they now account for more than half of all the eating occasions. What we used to think of as a snack, food eaten between meals, has morphed into something so frequent and large that they are practically meals themselves.
Well, it is. It's like an event here because tell everybody what you call snacks.
Picky pick.
Yeah, picky pick.
I've
we
got
have
everyone
picky pick.
Saying it.
every night we have, well, it's wine time and picky pick. And if you're,
picky
that's our
pick,
snack
I
time.
Love
but
it.
It's an event.
It makes me so happy thinking about it. It's an event. It makes me so – I get out all – I know. I really – and it's funny. When I was in Vegas, all my neighbors used to say, is it picky pick time yet at Lori's house? Because I use all my pretty plates, and I get out the different bowls. And you're right. I put out, like, the peanuts, and I'll put out the chips, and I'll slice some nice cheeses, and I'll pour the wine. I always get nice wine glasses, as you know. I have to – I'm a freak when it comes to nice wine glasses, and we light candles, and it's so much fun.
Well,
and then by the time dinner is ready, we're full.
I have to tell you the story. I forgot to tell you. When I was in Texas, I was with the plant manager that I work with, and we were at the airport, and it was about, I don't know, it was like 4:30, 5 o'clock, and our flight didn't meet until like 7. And he says, hey, you want to go over and get a drink over at the bar? And we did. And then when we sat down, the girl came over and took our order, and I said to her, and I swear to you, this is the truth, I said, do you have any picky pick?
No, you didn't tell me that. Oh, my God.
Yes, I forgot. Just remember. I said, do you have any picky pick?
She said, what?
Of course, she looked at me and said, what? I said, oh, I mean, you know, like snacks and things to eat. What do you got to eat? Like, can you bring us any, like, beer nuts or something like that? But got me doing it, and I feel like a fool. You got any picky pick? Anyway.
Oh, our friend, everybody says it. Remember, like, even then, is it picky-pick time? It's picky-pick time.
So anyway,
snacks
and picky-pick are big for 2014 is what you're telling me?
Yes. Well, because by the time, as you know, when we're done, we're like, I don't know, should we still eat the dinner? You're like, I'm kind of full. I'm like, I'm kind of full, too. So, yeah, it becomes, you know, an event, and it's becoming a meal.
Yes, it is. Cheese and crackers and peanuts.
Cheese and crackers. And you like the Ritz now. I learned that you like Ritz crackers. Yep.
Yep.
Okay, that's one of those things.
So where were we?
Okay. We just wasted like 10 minutes on the picky pick. Okay, social media. Sorry, it says, Mom, you've been replaced. People consult, which is very true, social media sites for cooking tips, restaurant reviews, and recipes. There's this amazing site that's called allrecipes.com. I've been using it for a long time. But I found that it's the top 10 most used social media site. It's allrecipes.com. So if anyone's looking for information.
People are contacting me now wanting to know how to cook a pot roast in a crock pot.
You know what? They do.
They
my
do,
niece.
And that's like weird. It's like, go ask your mother. Don't ask me, but I do have a pretty bad pork butt in a crock pot recipe. But,
you do.
Yeah, you're
you
right.
Do. Well,
social media
and you have
Facebook.
A secret. Yeah, Facebook. Anyway. It's true. Talking
in fact, why do people buy recipes? There's folks out there who are trying to sell. I'm probably going to get shot by every cookbook manufacturer and author out there right now. Yeah, I better keep my mouth shut.
Oh, we love cookbooks.
There's so much stuff you can
get for free on the internet nowadays that if you want to know how to make it, you'll find it.
Yeah, but you have to tell people really what your secret is when you marinate. I was telling my 15-year-old niece this because she, believe it or not, she asked for a crock pot for Christmas, and she was asking me what your secret is for when you marinate, and I told her coffee, and she couldn't, but she was, what? I said coffee. Not the grinds, but you make the coffee, and then you use the actual coffee, and you pour it on top, and you marinate
This black coffee, and
black coffee.
That whatever meat you're using, soak in the coffee. It's better overnight, but even if it cooks in the coffee, like a crock pot, if you put it in the crock pot and add like a cup of coffee to it, coffee, I guess what it does, it tenderizes the meat, and it gives it just, I don't know how it does it, but it seems to make the juice more juicy, and I've been using coffee. I actually was told by a barbecue guy, this goes back 3 or 4 years ago, that he used coffee to marinate and put it in a plastic bag, and it does work. So I've never heard of it before.
I'm amazed. I mean, 22 years in the business, and when you told me that you marinate in coffee, I was like, oh, my gosh. So, but, yeah, it's an amazing secret. So, but it says you're right. Friends post photographs of their meals on Facebook. They text family members with questions and grocery shelves. They take photos while they shop. So social media amplify the power of personal recommendations, which now can reach millions of people in a day. That was the trend.
Cool.
Online grocery. They said this is still coming. This is huge, though. They kind of say it's not catching on yet, but it's huge on the East Coast for the ShopRites. It's a huge business for online grocery shopping.
Well, years ago they tried it, and it was a failure because I think it was too ahead of the time. Like now people seem to be using it. Who was it you said? It was ShopRite?
ShopRite. Well, what happens is, it's good for, stay-at-home moms because for $10 more, they deliver it to your home. But what you do is, you order it online, and then there's, a pickup window. And, you tell, you work all day. If you're a business person, you work all day. So you run over, you go to the pickup window, and there's your groceries, and you drive home. It's like a takeout. So it's really huge for people, and older people, too. Yeah.
Yep, and I think there was – I know a lot of people are doing it in a lot of supermarkets, but is this anything in your article about, is Amazon doing that now too? Somebody like Amazon is doing it now.
Yeah, you're right. It says here, the internet shapes the way people grocery shop, showing them dishes around the world without even having to leave their home and demonstrating via the food blogs and videos how to cook the food. The part that has not worked, they say, so far is online grocery shopping. But this is 2013, and I don't understand it because it says the Hartman Group's research shows 54% of people online say they are not likely to buy food from their computer. Nevertheless, 2013 brought the long-awaited expansion of Amazon's online grocery business and many other online food purveyors. So I'm not sure. Like I said, it's huge with the ShopRite, so I don't know where.
Well, honestly, I like to go food shopping.
I love
everybody
me
laughs
so
at me.
Much fun.
When you and I go to Walmart, my favorite place, we have fun. It's a lot of fun to go there.
We really do. We really just have a lot of fun. I like to go food shopping. But, if you're a business person and you're, 8 to 5, or by the time you get home and you drive, you don't have time to food shop. So that's why
looking for the deal. That's why I like to go, too. I think if you were buying online, you probably have less chance of buying the bargains. Like, you know how you've always described this before on the radio show, how I'm digging through the meat case trying to find the best looking meat. And so, how can you get somebody to pick out the best pork butt if they're going to bring it to your house and you can't see the pork butt? I have to pick out the exact one with the right amount of fat. And you have a thing about the marbling, so there's no way we could order it online.
No, we couldn't. We want to see it, pick it up, look at it. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you're shopping and you decide, do we need this? Oh, let's get this. I just enjoy food shopping. I'm not a big clothes shopper. It's crazy as a girl, but I do. I'd rather go food shopping than clothes shopping.
Well, I can say that 100% because I hate to go buy clothes.
That's a different story, but no. It said it's not. Now, here we go, too. Another interesting survey here. It's not about the coffee. As McDonald's tries to compete with Starbucks selling espresso drinks and talking about where it buys its coffee, Starbucks is revamping its food again, and Dunkin' Donuts is expanding westward. Some call these the coffee wars, but the war is actually for the consumer's hearts, which is true.
While Starbucks roast is dark and Dunkin's is light, the people who align themselves with each brand are attracted at least as much to the experience as they are to the roast, and they transfer that loyalty to purchases of coffee beans to grocery stores.
Well, I've done some
experience. We don't buy the Dunkin' Donuts at Starbucks coffee.
No, but I tell you what, the Dunkin' Donuts coffee at the Dunkin' Donuts donut shops.
Yeah, you like it.
But the fast food, you're the best. You got the best fast food coffee or coffee, as you say, in my opinion.
Who?
Burger King. Burger King has a really good coffee.
Yes, I have to. Tommy bought me coffee at Burger King. I'm like, oh, this is really good. I mean, the diner to me, like Jersey diners are the best with coffee.
Well,
but you're right.
Forget it. Denny's coffee, I could sit there and drink their coffee all day long. But, I think fast food-wise, I like Burger King. And, of course, everyone knows from listening to the show, I'm not a fan of Starbucks. And you can keep
it. No, I'm not.
It's like drinking motor oil.
Yeah, no, my sisters and my mom, they always go all the time to Starbucks. But, it's not my favorite either. It says
so the article
saying—not
to interrupt you, but I always do anyway. Okay. The article is saying coffee is not the trend. What's the trend?
The coffee. It's about the experience.
Oh,
you know,
the
I mean, people
experience.
Are attracted to the experience.
Oh.
Yes. Yep. Like if you want to go and you want to sit, and, you know, like you're going to Starbucks, it's the experience of going into Starbucks and you're sitting with your coffee and people are talking and people are on the computer. I think it's the whole experience.
Oh.
It's not just grabbing, you know, a cup of coffee. It's the experience of it all. So.
Well, if you drink that crappy coffee at Starbucks, you'll have the experience later. It runs right through me. I don't like it.
Oh, my. Oh,
okay,
you
better, go to the next part of the story.
I think so. Oh, gosh. Food competition everywhere. Consumers are likely to buy food almost anywhere now. True. IKEA, the Costco, the Manhattan Steakhouses. People no longer fit their food needs around the hours and layouts of traditional grocery stores. Their now shopping patterns stoke competition and allow them to grab the snacks on the go and assemble their meals from food bought at multiple stores. You know, I used to always, like we talked about that. I would go to stores I would go to King's for my fish and maybe like ShopRite for the meats. I would go to different stores.
You told me months and months and months ago we had a discussion about this and IKEA selling meatballs.
Yes.
I mean, it's the craziest thing I ever heard of. Going to go buy furniture, let's stop by and get some meatballs.
Even when people do plan a meal, they're just as likely to ditch the plan for a restaurant craving, bringing every food source into the competitive arena. Beating the fast food at its own game. Oh, this was funny, too. Supermarkets that listen to their customers, like Whole Foods and Wegmans, offer fresh, healthy food that is easy to grab on the go. Did we talk about this? Is Wegmans on the West Coast yet?
Wegmans on the West Coast? No, I don't believe so. I never saw Wegmans out there. Nope.
Wegmans, they're very nice, high-end.
Yeah, they're nice. I've seen them in the East.
Supermarkets,
they've
got everything.
All over the place on the East Coast, but not on the West Coast. Nope.
Yeah, they're expensive, but they're really, boy, what a fun experience that is to shop. I mean, it's got like a whole huge section of cheeses and a whole huge section of olives and just a pizza area. And so anyway, it's a lot of fun to shop there. But it says that many outdo the fast food with its own make it while you wait, creating a bit of theater in the process. And that's what they're saying, which is true, because then you can see them making it. You know, you're watching make your dishes and stuff. Diane Earle is the senior director of the prepared foods at the United Supermarkets in Texas, and she says they nailed it when she told Supermarket News that cooking in front of customers enhances their perception that the food is fresh, and it is precisely what the consumers want, fresh.
Yeah, I know. I went to AutoZone. They were making banana foster, and I was really impressed. That's not really
when you
true,
were where?
AutoZone.
And you were at AutoZone.
That's not really
your
true.
Accent
I was just thinking
was different.
Of, I, was just,
I said Auto. You say Auto. I'm like, what is it? The Auto West?
I was at AutoZone, and they were cooking banana foster, but that's not really true. I was just thinking of the idea.
And, of course, the last thing, last but not least, sustainability. People continue to tell us that they want to know what efforts are underway from taking care of
blah,
animals.
Blah, blah, blah.
to reducing environmental impacts, and so they can feel good about what they're buying, as sustainable purchasing typically starts with the food. So 2013 was a year of unprecedented movement in many of these directions. It says, stay tuned for more in early 2014. I want to look for this, when the Hartman Group's worldwide team releases its annual trends report. I want to see what the trends are going to be for what they're going to say for 2014.
You said on the earlier story that you had at the end where I cut you off,
mm-hmm.
there were some predictions and trends they were talking about for 2014.
There were.
And we kind of blew through those. But what do you still have that article handy?
Where was it? Here, the trends.
Was that the end?
Was that the trends? No, that was the ugly food in 2014, but that wasn't trends. That was the ugly food I was talking about. But then I had an article here, the 17 foods you only thought would always be around. But no, I didn't see the 2014.
All right, well then, okay, I was not paying attention. Go to the 17 foods that you, what'd you just say?
Oh, there were 17 foods that, let's see here.
You don't know what you just...
You always do these to me. Yes, I did. I can't read the exact title. Here it is. 17 foods you only thought would always be around. But you know what? You're gonna rip into this when I just start.
All right.
It's a quickie, too, which is nice. Do we have enough time?
9 minutes.
We got 9? Okay. It says, this month, Japan announced that it's seeking a global heritage nod to help conserve its washoku style of cooking, which is being threatened by the rise of fast food staples such as the McDonald's and Krispy Kremes.
What did you say?
Well, here we go. Washoku.
Washoku.
It's a customary social practice that expresses, quote, respect for nature and serving to strengthen the bonds of family and community. It's just a style, of cooking in Japan. It says the nomination will highlight three features of washoku: various fresh ingredients, balanced nutrition, and seasonal presentation. So
I'm
that
completely
got us
confused.
Thinking
Wait
about
a minute, I'm
potatoes.
Completely confused. I'm completely confused.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about the 17 foods that we just thought they'd be around forever story. No?
Wait a minute. What happened here? Wait a minute.
You went from talking
dangerous.
About 17 foods.
Okay, wait, no, I think
you're
right. Wait,
that's okay, folks. Watch.
Okay, no,
that's okay, all right, go ahead. If I would just shut up, I guess you'd eventually get to it.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, you cut me off and think, well, that makes, okay. 17 foods that we thought would be around. They're talking about this washoku stuff, okay. So that got us thinking about our favorite foods that might one day go extinct due to a variety of factors like unsustainable climate, insect infections, floods, low demand, and others. We can't say exactly when these foods will move from the endangered to extinct list, but if nothing else, this gallery should serve as a reminder to never take for granted things like maple syrup, slathered pancakes. Does that make sense? Did it not make sense here?
Does it make sense to me? Nothing you read makes sense to me. I don't understand what you're saying on this whole story. Are you standing there saying that we're not going to have maple syrup anymore because of the environment?
Where's Aaron? Okay, here you go. No, listen to this. These are some of the things. They were talking about some of the foods that they want to make and they want to, you know, bring back. And this is some of the stuff that's going to be extinct.
I have no idea what this has to do with washoku, but go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Bacon, the annual pig production decreasing.
Oh, give me a break.
Wait, I'm serious.
All right.
Wait, beer, declining sales. Wait, I just got to rattle a few off. Bananas will be plagued by disease. Yellow watermelon, because it doesn't meet consumer expectation. Pasta.
Well, I've never eaten yellow watermelon. I have to say that they can take that one away.
I know. Pasta, the climate change that's affecting the ingredient growth.
Wait,
honey,
what was that one? Wait, what was the
pasta.
One you just said? Pasta? You said pasta. P-A-S-T-A.
Pasta?
Oh, God. Who does these stories?
I was reading this thinking, wait, want to hear the best one? We need Dan for this. Oysters, because reefs disappearing.
Yeah, right.
they're doing aquaculture and they're bringing back the oysters. Through the oysters almost died, not almost died off, but they were very small amount. But now the aquaculture is bringing them back. So who are these
now?
People?
I hope you're sitting down for
who
this one.
Wait a minute, who's these people with the Owashku who actually is talking about this stupid article?
I have no idea. You know, I never copy down who writes it. It's boring to read. But
well,
it says wine because of water shortages.
Oh, my God. Oh,
can
yeah,
you
okay.
picture? Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about, like 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 50,000 years? I mean, okay, dinosaurs are gone
we
now.
Load up on wine. We got to load up on our wine because we're talking like this. Kentucky
well,
bourbon
hey,
because
go,
of unpredictable
go,
climate.
It's the way we go through it. Maybe we should, because we are probably making
yes.
a mistake here on the island.
It's true. We're always running out. We need more wine.
Oh, my God.
Oh
these
my
stories.
Gosh,
I mean, I have to admit, you do find interesting stories, but they're so full of crap.
I know. It says don't take it for granted. Who does? When would I ever take wine for granted?
I mean, this is amazing. Okay, so we're not going to have any bacon. We're not going to have any wine. We're not going to have
nope.
any awashu
or
whatever you said.
Honey. Honeybees are arguably
pasta.
Endangered.
The pasta is my favorite one. You realize that doesn't, even grow, that doesn't even grow on trees, even though when I was a kid I thought it did, that they make that. So how are we going to run out of pasta?
It's affected ingredient growth. to climate.
Oh, my God, that's enough.
First, because the warm water is affecting the cold water fish.
Okay.
Strawberries.
That's enough.
Because the
we
best
got
climates
three,
for
we got
growth.
3 minutes.
Strawberries
I got a
because
minute.
Best climates for growth threatened with the rising temperatures.
I'm not listening
and here,
anymore.
Wait.
I'm not listening.
Ba-ba-ba-ba, the last one. I hope you're sitting down.
Yeah.
Chocolate. Because
of
the
course.
Cocoa
no
crops
more chocolate.
Climate are endangered.
Has anyone told Hershey's yet? This is crazy stuff.
In the year 2525.
25, yeah, when the year 2525, there aren't going to be any chocolate.
So
pasta. Oh, my
oh,
God.
Gosh.
Okay, we got less than 3 minutes, and I got a 2 minute and 12 second song, so that means we've only got like 40 seconds to shut this off. That was the most interesting, crazy story I think I've ever heard you read. Oh, well, I guess we can go now. You have anything else you would like to add?
I think I'm done. On that note.
All right, on that note, everybody, thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you to our guest, Dr. Janet Brill, and also Jim Anderson and the Rebels. Check out their website. Come back and see us. Oh, speaking of websites, come back and see us, but also check out our new website, which talks about the new network we're coming out with, Brilliant Ideas Foodie Network, www.brilliantideasradio.weebly.com, which that will be shortened later. But check it out, and we thank you for joining us each and every Saturday. We'll be back here next Saturday. I have no clue who we got on next week, and I can't wait to hear Laurie's stories next week. Everyone have a nice week, and come and Happy New Year, and come back and see us. And I'm going to close out with Jim Anderson. Treat me nice. Yes, Laurie, treat me nice. Everyone have a nice weekend. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
When I walk through that door, thinking deep how I, you're gonna make me so, if you don't bring me right. Don't you hear that? Kiss me once, kiss me twice. Treat me nice. I know that you've been told, in hospitality. So if you come on cold, I'm a really gonna freeze. If you don't want me to be cold as ice, treat me nice. Make me feel at home, if you really care. Scratch my back and run your pretty thing through my head. For you know I'll be your slave, if you're asking me to. But if you don't behave, I'll walk right out on you. if you want my love and take my mind. Treat me nice. They can make you feel at home if you really care. Scratch my back and run your breathing in through my head. Well, you know I'll be the same if you ask me to. But if you don't behave, I'll walk right out on you. If you want my love, take my advice. Treat me nice.
Treat me nice, treat me nice, treat me nice.
Treat me nice.
Treat me nice, treat me nice.
If you really want my love, then treat me nice.